Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I feel so blessed to be able to spend this Maundy Thursday with you. On this night when we remember that Jesus gives us a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Now, back on Tuesday of this week, after our chapel time with the preschoolers, I went home for lunch. And I live in Rancho Penasquitos, and if you live in Rancho Penasquitos, you'll know that Tuesday is trash day. Well, this past Tuesday, when I was actually what my husband calls an all-trash day, so all three trash cans were out there, the recycling and the yard waste and the trash, and when I got home, two out of three of the bins had been collected already. So I got out of my car, I took them up my driveway, put them where they belong in the side yard. And then I walked back down my driveway, across the street, looking both ways, because people drive crazy in my neighborhood, crossed the street to my neighbors, my new neighbors, and I pulled their trash cans up as well. No, don't go, ooh. It's not that, I'm not that all that great. But as I did that, and then I hear the voice of my next door neighbor saying hello to me. And he shouts to me, "So I see you've made friends with the new neighbors." And I said, "No, I haven't. It's just a habit." Let me explain. I have, Tom and I both, we have a longtime neighbor across the street. She's lived there ever since we moved in 27 years ago. And she died last year. And I don't remember when it started, but Lee and I have always taken up each other's trash cans. Whoever got out there first took them back up for the other person. And Lee was retired, and she was home quite a bit. I, on the other hand, am often out doing stuff on Tuesdays. Lee also had a secret weapon, her dog, that would bark at the trash truck, so she knew when the trash truck was going to be there. I don't have a dog. So if we were keeping score about who brought up the trash can more, Lee would be way ahead, in fact, probably 3x the times I brought up her trash can. I can never catch up, and I am okay with that because we weren't keeping score. We were loving each other with this small act of service. I was super excited when Father Eric asked me to preach tonight because Jesus washing his disciples' feet is a deacon's foundational passage. Did you know that the deacon's stole is worn this way to look like when Jesus put the towel around him? This is the towel. And that's what my stole reminds me, that I'm called to humbly serve the people of God. And if you've seen the movie The Big Fat Greek Wedding, I'm gonna be like the patriarch of the family and tell you that, did you know the word deacon comes from a Greek word? It comes from diakonos, meaning servant. And before we look at our gospel lesson from John chapter 13, I want to remind you of something foundational to everything Jesus did. When he was going about healing and teaching, he said, "The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." So when Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath, that was what God, the Father, would have done. Jesus only does what he sees his Father doing. This holds true even for washing dirty, stinky feet. And if we were keeping score, we'd never catch up to the perfect love and goodness of God the Father. Though we are made in God's image, we are stained by original sin, and then we pile on more sin. We could never approach a holy and righteous God on our own. That's why God had to send his one and only Son into the world for our salvation. That's the reason for the cross. But I'm getting ahead of myself, It's only Thursday, and I'll leave the cross for my wonderful colleagues to preach about in the coming days. Tonight is about Jesus washing feet. And like Peter in the gospel lesson, most of us are not comfortable with the thought of our Lord Jesus washing our dirty feet. Like Peter, we don't understand. As Father Eric explained in his sermon on Palm Sunday, the Jewish people were longing for a Messiah who would rule in power like King David, and Israel would no longer be pushed around. But that was never the plan. Jesus was showing himself to be a new kind of king. Jesus told James and John, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave." In our gospel tonight, we see Peter get upset and Judas become disgusted. Nevertheless, foot washing is right on brand for Jesus. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There is a Lenten devotional book that I absolutely love, and it's called A Season for the Spirit by Father Martin Smith. He writes, and I'm quoting, "The son does a slave's work at the dinner table before dying a slave's death to show the great lengths to which God will go to reconcile us. The symbolic act brings to surface our reactions to the love of God on the cross, the reluctance to be served humbly by Jesus the servant, the revulsion at his uncovering our filthy feet and washing them tenderly, is an unveiling of the resistance we bring to Calvary, where the one who took the form of a servant humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Along with Father Smith, I have pondered Peter's and my own resistance to being served by Jesus. So, in our gospel lesson from John chapter 13, Jesus and his disciples have just finished dinner. We're told that the devil already put it into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. But Jesus gets up from the meal. He takes off his outer clothing and wraps a towel around his waist. He pours water into a basin and begins to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel. Can you imagine looking down at the top of Jesus' head? Doing the job of a servant, washing your dirty feet. Peter can't. He's in shock. And he asks, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter, the first person to declare Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, is not comfortable with this. As Jesus continued to approach him, Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." Now, it's really never a good idea to tell the Lord no. But we can all understand where this no came from, right? Peter feels unworthy of Jesus washing his feet. If we are honest, we all say our own no's to the Lord. We all have dirty feet. Almost universally, we all feel unworthy to have our feet washed by a king. Jesus said to Peter, and to us, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." There is no room for misunderstanding here. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Peter wants to be fully part of Jesus. Even if misguided in his request, Peter's enthusiasm is beautiful. Because tonight is a night when we can be vulnerable before God and each other, I'd like to share about the first time I experienced foot washing at a Maundy Thursday service. My husband Tom and I have been married for over 32 years. However, about 2.5 years in, our marriage fell apart. And if it wasn't for the help of our parish priest, Father Al, I'm sure Tom and I would not be together today. Father Al made himself available to us completely. Anytime we called, he took our call. I remember one particularly hard day when he took my phone call and listened to me for over an hour as I cried from the floor of my bathroom. Father Al knew all our secret sins, our failures, and our weaknesses. He counseled us and he prayed with us. And when it came to be Holy Week, our church in Illinois offered the foot washing differently than we're going to do here tonight. So don't be concerned about the details that I share, because that's not what's going to happen tonight here. You'll see when I get to the point, but just listen for the point of my story. Father Al asked me and Tom and our toddler Lillian to come forward to have our feet washed by him. We were representing a young family. There was someone else who was representing the youth group, and there was another person who was representing senior citizens, and so on, to where he had a group of 12 up in the front. Now, I like to say Father Al only asked our family because he was charmed by our daughter Lily, but I actually think he knew exactly what he was doing by asking me and Tom. Now, I'm not wild about people other than my family touching my feet. I've never had a pedicure, and I don't plan to. Half you ladies in here are going to try to talk me into it when this is over. Don't even bother. It's not happening. But as Father Al washed my feet, I watched him from above, and I was mostly okay with it. I watched as he dried my feet, and I was fine. But then he did something I never expected. He picked up my foot and he gave it a kiss. Tears began running down my face, and I could not believe how much it moved me. What was the difference between Father Al washing my feet and kissing my feet? I was ready in my heart to let him serve me, but not to love me, because I knew I was unlovable. I knew all the parts inside of me that were still dirty. Father Al was a wonderful priest who sacrificed his time to play a big part in saving my marriage. He was the Lord's servant, a devoted pastor whom Jesus lived inside. But truly, it was not Father Al that kissed my foot that night. It was Jesus. And because Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing, it was also God the Father who kissed my foot. That's why I cried. No one has been perfectly loved by others here on earth. In Father Smith's book, he writes, at some unnameable moment in the early days of emergence into personhood, each one of us reenacts a fateful bargain to rid ourselves of the hope of being loved absolutely. On Maundy Thursday, it is good to abandon the pretense that there is no vestige left in us of resistance to being served and loved. I'm a Christian. I've accepted the love of God on the cross. And yet, there is a reluctance which has not altogether died down in me yet. Part of me wants to deserve love or only get the love that I deserve. I don't mind exchanging gifts, but by being only and entirely on the receiving end does not sit well with me. There is evidence in my prayer life. How often do I look down at Jesus in prayer and consent to his washing away the daily grime of my frustrations, struggles, and mistakes? I prefer to do it myself. Oh, how convicting. Our gospel passage concludes as Jesus asks his disciples, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done to you." Why have I emphasized the love of God instead of these last few verses, the ones that model servant leadership and give us something to do, or the new commandment to love one another just as Jesus has loved you? Here's why. Because you can't give away what you haven't received. You can't give away what you haven't received. Tonight, receive the love of God and let him wash your feet. It's not Father Eric or Deacon Gale. It will be Jesus, and it will be God the Father. If you allow God to wash your feet and accept his unconditional love, you won't need someone to tell you to love and serve others. You will be compelled by the Holy Spirit to do just that. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, Spirit of yielding, Spirit of yes, Spirit of letting go, Spirit of humility and openness, Spirit who trains our eyes to look down at Jesus looking up at us, ever ready to wash and serve us. We need you. We need you to give us a fresh receptivity to the unconditional love of God, to make our embrace of the cross real and not just a matter of words. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.